Imagine a man, for instance, standing by through 10,000 different failures, as Mr. Edison did, before giving up. His personal initiative was so definite that he told me that if he hadn't found the secret of the incandescent electric lamp, that at that very moment he would be in the laboratory working on it instead of being out there wasting his time talking with me. And then in a more serious note, Mr. Edison said, you know, I had to succeed because I finally ran out of things that wouldn't work. And I've thought of that so many times, wondering why more people don't keep on keeping on until they run out of things that won't work, for then they're bound to find the thing that will work.
CultivateGreatness.com, personal development blog, podcast number 2. All right. In this series of podcasts, what I'm going to embark upon is sharing some of the wisdom by one of the foremost thought leaders of personal development, Mr. Napoleon Hill. And what I have done is I've accrued a lot of Napoleon Hill audio programs in the course of my life. And what I'm going to do is splice some of his thoughts in with some of my thoughts. And what we're going to do here on this episode is we're going to begin to discuss the law of success, the 16 lessons of the law of success by Napoleon Hill. And what we're going to do is every episode we will take one of the lessons of Napoleon Hill. I will dissect it. We will discuss it. We'll have some things on the website for you to go ahead and contribute some of your thoughts as well. But this is what we're going to do. We're going to go ahead and talk about the law of success. It's a great thing. And most people are familiar with his work, Think and Grow Rich. Well, the law of success is essentially the unabridged version of Think and Grow Rich. Each volume, and there's two volumes, I believe there's like over 1,600 pages involved in the Law of Success program. And so we're going to go through each and every one of them. And in the process of doing so, it will reinforce, in my mind, you know, this is mostly for me. They say that you learn by teaching. If you really want to learn something, try to teach it to other people. By teaching it to other people, you're going to be able to really absorb that knowledge. And so hopefully this will be a very beneficial thing for each and every one of you who are listening. And I want to thank you so far. I have 10 subscribers so far in the first week of putting out a podcast. Now, that's not a tremendous amount, but I do want to thank each and every one of you who have listened to the podcast so far. And people who are just now finding it, you know, months down the road, I hope this is a benefit to you as well. So basically, here's what we're going to talk about. The first program that, or the first law of success, was the mastermind group. And I want to talk about that a little bit. He doesn't really go in depth too much on this one. It's basically an introduction to the book. But subsequent editions, what we're going to be talking about, like next week, we'll be talking about a definite chief aim. And that will teach you how to save the wasted effort which the majority of people expend in trying to find your life work. This lesson is designed to show you how to do away forever with aimlessness and fix your heart and hand upon some definite, well-conceived, well-defined life work. And by doing so, I believe this is going to help you find your purpose. It's going to help you find your passion, define your passion, and utilize your passion to help you find something that you truly want to work on. The next episode, the third edition of the podcast, Law of Success, will be the self-confidence. And that will help you master the 6 basic fears in which every person is cursed. The fear of poverty, the fear of ill health, the fear of old age, the fear of criticism, the fear of loss of love from someone, and the fear of death. I would also include the fear of failure that he does not include. So I think that's one that a lot of people are plagued by, and it kind of leaves a lot of people immobile. They don't even try sometimes because they're scared of failing. Well, if you don't try, your chances of making this happen is zero. But if you do try, you know, there's a chance that it's going to happen for you. You know, a much greater chance of it happening if you try versus if you don't try. So the trick is you got to work towards it. You got to go ahead and put yourself out there. So that's that. The next one is going to be the habit of saving. This is going to teach you how to distribute your income systematically so that a definite percentage of it will steadily accumulate, thus forming one of the greatest known sources of personal power. No one may succeed in life without saving money. There is no exception to this rule, and no one may escape it. So we're going to learn how to save money. We're going to talk about Napoleon Hill. We're going to go over the chapter, The Law of Saving Money. That's a great episode. I'm going to look forward to it. The one after that is going to be Initiative and Leadership. This is going to show you how to become a leader instead of a follower in your chosen field of endeavor. It will develop in you the instinct for leadership, which will cause you gradually to gravitate to the top in all undertakings in which you participate. That's exciting. We all can learn more leadership skills. We all can, you know, some of these things that we're going to be talking about are things that we already know, things that we've already learned. But the trick is to do it. If you don't do what you know, it's just a lot of unapplied knowledge. And, you know, the trick is to apply what you know. And us going over these things is really going to help that. So that's the fifth law. The next one's going to be imagination. And imagination will stimulate your mind so that it will conceive new ideas and develop new plans, which will help you in attaining the object of your definite chief aim. Now, this lesson right here is going to teach us how to build houses out of old stones, so to speak. It will show us how to create new ideas out of old, well-known concepts, and how to put old ideas to new uses. This one lesson alone is equivalent of a very practical course in salesmanship, and it is sure to prove a veritable gold mine of knowledge to the person who is in earnest. All right, so imagination. And I believe that, Albert Einstein had a great quote about imagination. You know, talking about the power of imagination is 1%, what do you say, 1% imagination, not 99% perspiration? Something like that. Somebody said that. But without imagination, you know, where would I be? I feel that imagination is probably my best asset. I'm very creative, and I feel that, you know, I'm able to think outside the box, so to speak. So I'm looking forward to reading more about that one. The next law will be the law of enthusiasm. And that will enable us to saturate all with whom we come in contact with earnest in us and our ideas. Enthusiasm is the foundation of a pleasing personality, and you must have such a personality in order to influence others to cooperate with you. So, enthusiasm. In the last episode, I talked about enthusiology, which would be the science of enthusiasm. So that would be a good podcast as well. And these will be upcoming over the course of the next few weeks. Self-control is the balance wheel which you control your enthusiasm and direct it where you wish it to carry you. This lesson will teach us, in a most practical manner, to become the master of our fate, the captain of our soul, self-control. The next chapter, the next podcast we'll be doing, is the habit of doing more than paid for. And this is one of the most important lessons in the Law of Success course. It will teach us how to take advantage of the law of increasing returns, which will eventually ensure us a return in money far out of proportion to the service that we render. No one can become a real leader in any walk of life without practicing the habit of doing more and better work than that in which we are paid for. So that will be a good one as well. The next one, pleasing personality, is the fulcrum on which we must place the crowbar of our efforts. When so placed with intelligence, it will enable us to remove mountains of obstacles. This one lesson alone has made scores of master salesmen. It has developed leaders overnight. It will teach us how to transform our personality so that we may adapt ourselves to any environment or to any other personality in such a manner that you may easily dominate. Pleasing personality. The next one will be accurate thinking. This is one of the most important foundational stones of enduring success. This lesson will teach us how to separate facts from mere information. It will teach us how to organize known facts into two classes, the important and the unimportant. And it teaches us how to determine what is an important fact. It teaches us to build definite working plans in the pursuit of any calling out of facts. So accurate thinking will be the 11th podcast in the series. 12th in the series is concentration. And this teaches us how to focus our attention on one subject at a time until you have worked out practical plans for mastering that subject. It will teach us how to ally ourselves with others in such a manner that we may have the use of their entire knowledge to back you up in your own plans and purposes. It will give you a practical working knowledge of the forces around you and show you how to harness and use the forces in furthering your own interests. And that's really important. In the book Think and Grow Rich, he talked about Henry Ford. And I guess some magazine or newspaper was slandering him, calling him an ignoramus. And they put him on trial to prove that he was an ignoramus and asked him lots of senseless questions to prove that he was an ignoramus. And they asked him all these mere, you know, these trivial questions. You know, how many people how many people died in the Civil War? You know, and he said, well, hey, I don't know exactly the precise number, but I can tell you that it was a lot more than went back. So, but he was really precise in what he was saying, and after a while he just got fed up and goes, look, I have a row of buttons above my desk that I can press any button, and someone will come in and will answer the question for me. I don't need to know this trivial stuff. I need to know people who know the answer. And that's a profound thought if you think about it. And that's one of the things that I like to, when I, you know, find new acquaintances, I like to hang out with people who know more than me in areas that I don't know anything about. And by doing this, it enables me to tap into their knowledge. And that's just a huge one. I'm really going to enjoy that one. The 13th law, 13th podcast in the series, is cooperation. And this will teach us the value of teamwork in all that we do. In this lesson, we'll be taught how to apply the law of the mastermind, described in the introduction, and will show us how to coordinate the efforts with those of others in such a manner that friction, jealousy, strife, envy, and cupidity will be eliminated. We will all learn how to make use of all that other people have learned about the work in which you are engaged. So, yeah, it kind of ties into what I was talking about the last one there. All right, profiting from failure. This will teach us how to make stepping stones out of all of our past and future mistakes and failures. It will teach us how to the difference between failure and temporary defeat, the difference, which is very great and very important. It will teach us how to profit from our own failures and by the failures of other people. The 15th one of the podcast series is tolerance. This will teach us how to avoid the disastrous effects of racial and religious prejudices, which mean defeat for millions of people who permit themselves to become entangled by the foolish argument over these subjects. So, this is the twin sister of the one on accurate thought, so that will be interesting. And the final one, 16th episode in our series, will be Practicing the Golden Rule. This will teach us how to make use of this great universal law of human conduct in such a manner that we may easily get harmonious cooperation from any individual or group of individuals. Lack of understanding of the law upon which the Golden Rule philosophy is based is one of the major causes of failure of millions of people who remain in misery, poverty, and want for all their lives. So, this lesson right here has nothing to do whatsoever with any religion, but it is one of the most important lessons in the law of success. All right, so that's what we're going to be learning, and we are going to be going over this stuff over the course of the next 16 weeks. And what this will do is, over the course of each week, I will be reading one of the Law of Success chapters. I will be highlighting different points. I will also input various different snippets of Dr. Napoleon Hill actually speaking. I have lots of MP3 files of him talking, so we'll go ahead and we'll put some of that stuff in there as well. We'll try to make this as entertaining as possible and as educational as possible. So, and that's the trick. When you're, you know, finding a podcast that is, you know, something that you want to subscribe to, something you want to listen to, you want to find something that's going to be educational for you, something that puts some worth and some merit, that brings some of that to the table. And when I look for podcasts, I either want to be entertained or I want to be educated. And typically I want to be educated because I feel that I want to maximize my use of time while I'm driving or maximize the use of time while I'm sitting at my computer working on things. I want to have good thoughts going in. And the more good thoughts you have going in, the more good thoughts you have coming out. Put good things in, good things start coming out. You'll be able to get rid of a lot of the negativity you have in your life, and move forward in a more positive manner. Now, I want to talk real quickly about the mastermind group. And I feel this is a very important part of the whole law of success and the whole part of Think and Grow Rich, is that you need to be around people and work with these people in a harmonious manner towards your definite aim. You want to kind of have a Knights of the Round Table for your own personal endeavors. And you want to be able to bounce ideas off of people and get their insight in an environment where you're not worried about them sharking your ideas away from you. You want to have a trusting, balanced, open relationship with great thinkers. And one of the things that I'm kind of tossing around here for the whole Cultivate Greatness is to have a mastermind forum where like members can go there and we can help others with their business ideas in a non-sharking manner so people will actually enjoy coming there and not worry about us, you know, taking their ideas and running with them. So what we'll probably end up doing is having some sort of application process, some sort of thing. But we're kind of tossing it around. I'd like to have a bulletin board for the masses to join. And I'd also like to have a mastermind group for people who are, you know, trustworthy people, people who got great ideas and people who are great thinkers and like to help other people. So that is what we're going to do on that. All right, up next, what I'm going to do is kind of turn it over here to Napoleon Hill. And he's going to talk about the 12 keys to riches. Hope you enjoy.
Everyone desires to be rich, but not everyone knows what constitutes enduring riches. And most people believe riches to consist only in material things that money can buy. Now here is a list of the 12 things which constitute real riches. Number one, a positive mental attitude. Observe that it heads the list. And second, sound physical health. And third, harmony in human relations. And fourth, freedom from fear. And fifth, the hope of future achievement. And sixth, the capacity for applied faith. And seven, willingness to share one's blessings with others. Eight, to be engaged in the labor of love. Nine, an open mind on all subjects toward all people. 10, complete self-discipline. 11, wisdom with which to understand people, and 12, financial security. Observe, if you will, with great benefit, the fact that money comes at the end of the list of the 12 things that make men rich.
So I guess it's safe to say that riches begin with a state of mind. That is for certain. Excellent. One of the things that he talked about in the law of success here with the mastermind group is that the key of harmony. Harmony is a very important thing when you consider your mastermind group, because you want to make sure that everybody is in somewhat in agreement. There's not hard feelings. There's not anger within the group. And he started talking about how we are all basically protons, neutrons, and electrons, down to our very core. Our atomic level is protons, neutrons, and electrons. That's what our matter is made of. Everybody is made of that. Everything is made of that. Protons, neutrons, and electrons at the atomic level. And so if we get together with somewhat like-minded people moving towards the same definite chief aim, we will, the protons, neutrons, and electrons in our brains, the subconscious, will actually form a more powerful mind with you know, two or more people in one location will create a very, very powerful mind, able to tap into universal knowledge and the universal idea pool. The key of harmony. You know, it's a very interesting thing how he discussed that. I've noticed this, that if you get three or four of your buddies together and you're, you know, some deep thinking people, you can go off on some incredibly deep, long tangents about many different things. And what this does is a brainstorming session which will help you overcome many different obstacles that your business is experiencing, or many different obstacles or challenges that your personal life is experiencing. And it will enable you to to drive forward and move on with your goals. And having a support system to help you out and to give you more ideas, you know, that's invaluable, because somebody's going to think of something that you're not going to think of. And that's just the way that it is. And, you know, so it's amazing to be able to read over this stuff and to be able to share this information with you guys. And I'm definitely looking forward to this. And I hope that you enjoy it. And if you have any, you know, tips or tricks, or any suggestions or comments about the show, please feel free to go ahead and email me at travis@mediathinklab.com. And, you know, I love to put your ideas out there as well. And, you know, because we're all part of this together. We're one human, you know, we're spiritual beings that are experiencing a human experience together. And so the more that we can do to share our knowledge with one another, the greater that our lives are going to be. And we're going to help each other cultivate greatness and in many different areas of our lives. It's a very exciting time. And I'm definitely glad to be able to do this. And I'm glad to be able to be part of your mastermind group and help share ideas with you. And feel free to share ideas with me. And what we're going to do is, you know, typically we're probably going to release these on the weekend, but I wanted to go ahead and get a head start on this, set it out for us so we can kind of get moving. What I'm going to do here at the very end of this episode is I'm going to put on a little thought by, it's actually a 5-minute excerpt by Napoleon Hill, which kind of got the whole ball rolling for him. What happened, what he was doing, how he met Andrew Carnegie, and what happened as a result of him meeting Andrew Carnegie. And I want to share that with you. And you know what? We'll go ahead and we'll catch you next time. I want to thank you for tuning in to the second edition of this Cultivate Greatness podcast. And we'll go ahead and we'll move forward and we'll share lots of new ideas in future episodes. And so know that for the next 16 weeks, or for the next 15 weeks, I guess, because this is one of the weeks, for the next 15 weeks, next, you know, 4 months essentially, 3.5 months, we're going to be sharing a lot of great thoughts together. And, you know, I appreciate you coming to CultivateGreatness.com. We'll go ahead and we'll probably get a forum set up here this week, and so we can start sharing some ideas. And, you know, much love to each and every one of you. Thank you. And tell you what, this week and for every week on down the road, help other people try to cultivate some greatness in their life, and it will resonate with you in your life. Thanks again. I'm Travis Wright. Until next time, cultivate greatness. Thanks a lot.
My brother and I had matriculated at Georgetown University Law School intending to become lawyers. We didn't have any money, but I did have ability to write, and I promised that I would write stories about successful men, sell them to a magazine, and pay our way through. And my first assignment, fortunately, was with Andrew Carnegie in Pittsburgh. He gave me 3 hours. And when the 3 hours were over, he said, now, this interview is just beginning. Come on out the house, stay all night, and after dinner we'll take up the interview again. He kept me there 3 days and nights. And believe you me, I was more than flattered. I wondered what it was all about. He kept talking to me about the need for a new philosophy. He said, we've had many philosophies, the days of Socrates and Plato, on down to the days of William James and Emerson, but most of them dealt with the moral laws of life. What we need is an economic philosophy for the man of the streets that will enable him to make use of the know-how gained by men like myself over a lifetime of experience. Well, it sounded very nice to me, except for one thing. I didn't know exactly what that word philosophy meant. And finally, at the end of the third day, he said, now look here, I have been talking to you for 3 days about the need for a new philosophy, and I'm going to ask you a question about it. If I commission you to become the author of this philosophy, give you letters of introduction to men whose experiences you will need in collaboration with yourself, are you willing to put in 20 years of research, because that's how long it will take, paying your own way as you go along without any subsidy from me, yes or no? Now, ladies and gentlemen, there have been many times in my life when I have faced difficult problems and difficult decisions, and I don't think I ever faced one more embarrassing than that. Because when Mr. Carnegie put that proposition to me, my hand was down in my pocket, and I was fiddling with the money that I had there just about enough to get back to Washington, and if I had to stay at a hotel instead of Mr. Carnegie's house, I wouldn't have had that much. I didn't even know the meaning of the word philosophy. And here the richest man in the world wanted me to go to work for him for 20 years without pay. Wasn't that a situation for you? I started to tell Mr. Carnegie, I started to do just exactly what you or the most of us people would have done under the same circumstances. And what do you think that was? What would you have done if you would have faced that sort of proposition, going to work for 20 years without any pay for the richest man in the world? Well, yes, that's what I was about to do. But something inside of me wouldn't let me open my mouth until I got a hunch that if Mr. Carnegie had kept me there for 3 days, it must have been for a purpose. That he must have seen something in me that I didn't know was there. Also, that a man with Mr. Carnegie's reputation for picking men certainly didn't pick me to do a job like that unless he knew I had the ability to do it. And whatever this something was, this silent, invisible person that was standing, looking over my shoulder and whispering in my ear, said, go ahead and tell him yes. I said, Mr. Carnegie, I not only will accept the commission, sir, but you may depend upon it that I will complete it. He said, I like the way you ended that sentence up, and I think you'll do it. You have the job. The only contribution Mr. Carnegie ever made to me outside of introducing me where I needed to be introduced was to pay my expenses in the early part of my relationship with him. The first man he sent me to see was Henry Ford. Now, he said, I want you to go up to Detroit, become acquainted with Henry Ford, observe him carefully, because one of these days he's going to dominate the motor industry. And it's going to be second only to the steel industry. This was in 1908, the late fall of 1908, ladies and gentlemen. I went up there and spent 2 days trying to find Ford, and when I did find him, he came out of the rear of a shop where he'd been doing some experimenting with an old pair of overalls on, a plug hat or a derby hat that had been bashed in the crown, the grease all over his hands. I remember he got my shirt sleeves dirty when I shook hands with him. And I sat down for a half hour with Mr. Ford, and about all of his conversation consisted of yes and no, mostly no. And I wondered how a man like Mr. Carnegie could have made a mistake like that. Imagine if Mr. Ford would ever be a leader in anything. Well, I won't tell you the rest of it. That's enough.